Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Savage. Michael will be back tomorrow. Brian Sussman out here on the left coast from Michael's flagship station, KSFO. It's the station that he basically put on the map in the mid-90s with the talk radio format. So I've been listening to Michael for many years. I'm his friend out here on the coast. He's got the day off. And, of course, not just Dr. Savage, it's Dr. National Radio Hall of Fame Michael Savage, for which we're totally stoked, but not surprised, not at all surprised. So for the latest headlines, go to michaelsavage.com. To subscribe to the Savage newsletter, go to michaelsavage.com. Don't forget Dr. Savage on Facebook. You can follow him on Twitter at A Savage Nation. Thanks for being here. Well, kind of interesting. The way it works, I'll give you the, show you how the sausage is made. So right now, I'm broadcasting from my personal man cave. Usually I broadcast from San Francisco at the KSFO offices. Michael Savage broadcasts from San Francisco and other remote locations on a regular basis, but his control room, the guys who run the show, are actually in Dallas. Now, I've been watching news all day. My morning show on the left coast on KSFO begins at 5 a.m. So I've been watching TV basically since 3 this morning. I've seen a couple clips from inside some of the police memorials that are going on today, or funerals. 3 of the cops that were killed in Dallas and were laid to rest today. But I'm just telling you, I'm even watching Fox News. I don't see what Jim in Dallas just whispered to me over the transom before the broadcast began. Jim, you were telling me that for one of these officers, you had a buddy who was observing the procession in Dallas, and you're telling me it's miles long. How come we're not seeing any of this on TV? Is it too touchy? Ooh, it might rile up the Black Lives Matter people. Don't want to do that. Good Lord. You would think that we'd get a little snippet of what's going on in Dallas. We're getting nothing in terms of this miles-long procession. Oh, but we're hearing about Obama and the things he said when he was at the memorial. This guy goes to a memorial for 5 police officers who are shot in the line of duty. And Obama turns it into a lecture on race. A lecture on cops are bad. A lecture on white Christians are bad. And he comes up with these cockamamie, asinine, I don't even know how to wrap my brain around these kind of statements. Statements like this, you're about to hear it. Okay, so if you're driving right now, I'm just going to ask you to put 2 hands on the wheel. I don't want to lose you. This is going to blow your mind if you haven't heard this. But Obama actually says that it's easier for a teenager to buy a Glock, not a clock, tick, 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 a Glock, bang, bang, bang. It's easier to buy a Glock than it is to get your hands on a book or even a computer. Listen to this one. Clip 1, please.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
Where does he come up with this stuff? And did you hear the drones in the audience? They're clapping before he even had to say what he was going to say, and then they're clapping before he ended the sentence, which was one of, again, the most outlandish things you'll ever hear. By the way, if you want to comment on this, the number is 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Cops are shot when guns are easier to buy than books. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I saw Jesse Jackson, this blowhard. I mean, talk about guys who may be suffering from some kind of mental problem. He was actually on the air recently, and he was talking about the ability to get guns, and he said, you know, these people are getting guns that can shoot down airplanes. What? And the media doesn't even check him on that. What kind of guns are you talking about that can shoot down airplanes? Surface-to-air missiles? Oh, and Obama continues. Obama, you know, just can't get the chip off his shoulder. Obama loves to stir up the pot. Obama employing something called the Cloward and Piven strategy. We can talk about that, or you can Google it. Cloward, Piven. Cut two, please.
You also know that centuries of racial discrimination, of slavery and subjugation, and Jim Crow, they didn't simply vanish with the end of lawful segregation. They didn't just stop when Dr. King made a speech or the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act were signed. Race relations...
Okay, stop it right there. You know what? You know why it hasn't stopped Obama? Because guys like you want to keep talking about it. You want to keep just rubbing those wounds raw. Never let them heal. Agitate the masses. Radicalize the minority community. That's what this is all about. So at the end of the day, you can bring down America. I tell you, Trump, you know, that's why the slogan, Make America Great Again, it works. I know the left just loves to laugh at that because they think we need to make America into something it's never been before. We need to make America great again. Listen to this. Clip 5, this is Obama continuing. Can you believe this? This is at the memorial service for five... Hold on one second. This is at the memorial service for five slain police officers. Now clip 5, please, Jim.
And so when African Americans from all walks of life, from different communities across the country, voice a growing despair over what they perceive to be unequal treatment, when study after study shows that whites and people of color experience the criminal justice system differently, so that if you're black, you're more likely to be pulled over or searched or arrested, more likely to get longer sentences, more likely to get the death penalty for the same crime.
Again, this man relishes in dividing us. He's stabbing America. I can't even say in the back. Stabbing America in the chest during a memorial service. Yep, there he is, Barack Obama. You want more of this? Just elect Hillary. You'll get the same thing except from a woman in a pantsuit. Bill is at WJR. Bill, thank you for joining us on This, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in, and you, sir, are first on the air today. Go right ahead.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. So Obama's always saying, and the Democrats are always saying, we need more gun laws, you know, common sense gun laws. And then he comes out and says that it's easier to get a Glock than a book. Well, not if you go by the laws that are already on the books. There's already gun laws. There's already background checks. There's already... safety measures to, you know, there's a protocol for buying a gun. What he's really saying is on the illegal market, you can get a gun. And he's kind of trapped himself there. And he's sort of saying, you know, gun laws don't matter because crooks can go out and easily obtain a firearm. So
that's you're making a good point, Bill. I appreciate you checking in. The bottom line is, listen, you're a bad guy. You can get a gun. You can outlaw all the guns in the United States. Just outlaw the guns. And the outlaws will still be able to get guns. But in the meantime, he can get away with this nonsense because you have to understand that most people in America don't own a gun. So they don't know the process that's in place to go to a gun store and purchase a firearm. It varies from state to state, I get that. But they don't understand that within the various states, there are certain rules and regulations and laws that apply. Easier to get a book. Okay, I want to see a $500 book. Could you show that one to me, please? Could you show that one to me? Oh, and then the insanity continues. Now you got this lady. She's the first. Let me find this for you. She is the first. She's the first Miss Alabama. First black Miss Alabama. Okay? I love Alabama. First black Miss Alabama. And she's calling the shooter in Dallas. She's calling him a martyr. She's not backing down on this. Calling the guy a martyr. Chad's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Chad, thanks for checking in on This, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Brian. Enjoy your clarity on all your points in the beginning of the show. I think it sets the tone for what we're in for here with you, and I think it's great. One thing you mentioned about we're not seeing the processions and everything for those officers. There's also something that the media is not doing, including Fox News and everybody. This guy that shot those officers, in the negotiations with them, he said he wanted to kill white people and specifically white police officers. Now, they were killed by a racist. Why can't anybody say it? If a white person said, I'm going to kill a bunch of blacks and did it, you'd hear the word racist throughout the news piece 20, 30 times. Why is our media not saying that this guy, blacks can be racist too. Why are we not saying they were killed by a racist? Because he specifically said he wanted to kill white people and white cops.
I'm with you. The media has become so politically correct, they may as well be Pravda. Chad, thanks for your call. Now, dovetailing into that, let me get to Miss Alabama. Okay? The shooter was a racist. The shooter said he wanted to kill people who were white. That's what he said. It's on the record. So here's the first black Miss Alabama, Kaylin Chapman James. She's calling this Dallas cop killer a martyr, and she's not backing down on it. This is clip 8. Listen to this.
I'm dealing with a bit of guilt because I don't feel sad for the officers that lost their lives, and I know that that's really not my heart. I value human life, and I want to feel sad for them, but I can't help but feeling like the shooter was a martyr.
Can you believe this? This is where we are today, 2016, in America. These minorities are becoming radicalized. These millennials are becoming radicalized before our very eyes to the point where they can no longer think coherently. So these are some of the things that we're going to talk about on the Savage Nation. I'm totally, totally excited to be here, as always. It's a great honor to be behind this microphone. Filling in for Dr. Savage, who now is in the National Radio Hall of Fame, thanks to all of you. Again, the phone number, it's very simple. Love to hear from you at 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman, in for the doctor, Dr. Michael Savage. Savage will be back tomorrow. By the way, go to michaelsavage.com for the latest news. One of the things that we're talking about is the fact that we had three of those Dallas officers laid to rest today. It's interesting. Jim, who is the producer of the program, just got some video from a friend of his in Dallas of one of these processions. And I'm looking at it right now. This procession, he just texted it to me. What freeway is that, Jim? I'm not familiar with the Dallas area enough to know what particular highway this is. Okay. This is miles and miles long. I'm just asking the question. Out of respect for these officers who were shot like fish in a barrel, trying to protect who? They were trying to protect the demonstrators, the protesters. Can you believe this? Why are we seeing this procession on television? I'm flipping the dials. I don't see it anywhere. I guess it just doesn't fit the narrative because we want to make it look as if the cops are bad and the protesters are good. I'm sure some of the protesters are well-meaning, but you know what? The leaders of this operation are radicalized, and many of the followers are radicalized to the point where they can't even think straight. And the chief radical amongst them is Barack Hussein Obama, who says absolutely asinine statements like this. Let's replay it for our listeners who are just tuning in, and then we've got some callers who want to make some excellent points. As always, that's what you expect on the Savage Nation. Clip one, please.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
My goodness. I'm struck by a couple of things. First of all, who are those drones that are clapping? Stan is in Dallas listening on KLIF. Stan, thanks for checking into the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for the good doctor. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, from what I understand, the people that were actually in the crowd were mostly politicians, and it wasn't so much the police officers that were clapping for them. And from what I understand, it's like invitation only, and they were supposed to have had it at, well, they said that there was the idea to have it at Cowboys Stadium instead of the Madison, but they went ahead and had it at the Madison instead, so...
So these were plants in the audience. These were all political drones who were clapping, and no matter what Obama said, at the certain pause line, just start clapping, and he makes this absolutely idiotic statement, and thank you for your call, Stan. Let's go to KSFO out in San Francisco. Ray checking in. So, Ray, you just heard Obama say it's easier to get guns. It's easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than a teenager to buy a book. I think you're about to make an excellent point, Ray. Go ahead.
You know, early, thanks for taking my call, Brian. Early in this president's administration, Eric Holder and Obama were found. They were caught running guns and dumping guns. And we have a state senator who is doing the same thing, a very big anti-gun advocate here in California who was caught gun running for Chinese gangs. And so I think when you played that clip of the speech where Obama says, we are dumping guns on our neighborhood, did he certainly tell the truth and rat himself out? And his administration, the Democrats are dumping guns for the very reason.
Good point.
You mentioned Clower Piven to create this problem that they now have to solve.
Good point. Good point. No, Fast and Furious. You talk about a gun dumping operation. Again, one of the most asinine plans in the world coming out of the Obama administration. And by the way, this is another one that the media just won't cover. Remember when there was the Paris shooting? You had the Islamic terrorists wreaking havoc on Paris? One of the guns in the Paris shooting can be linked to Obama's Fast and Furious. Where's the media on this? Nowhere to be found. Nobody home, everybody. Just move along for the sake of the children. Well, we're not moving along because we've got a lot of show left. Always a pleasure. Always an honor to be filling in for Hall of Famer Dr. Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for the doctor. That's Michael Savage, of course, Hall of Famer Michael Savage. MichaelSavage.com for all the latest headlines. And to subscribe to the Savage newsletter, phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. So much news to talk about. A lot of callers on hold. Stay there, callers. We'll get to you shortly to talk about one of the... Remember how Barack Obama, one of the first things he did in office that made it clear where his heart was regarding the cops, or regarding law enforcement at large, was when there was an incident in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where Harvard's located. That buddy of his, who was the professor, was locked out of his house and acting crazy or something like that. Anyway, the cops arrested this guy. And Barack Obama said the Cambridge police acted stupidly. Do you remember that? Well, can I tell you, this statement made by Obama at this memorial service for the police, the five policemen shot in the line of duty in Dallas at that Black Lives protest, Black Lives Matter protest. This was a stupidly stated comment. I've never heard anything so stupidly stated in my life. We'll get back to that in just... I mean, he literally says that cops are shot because guns are easier to buy than books. He literally says that a teenager can just go and buy a Glock faster than and easier than they can buy a book. So you got that. But there are other stories in the news that are also just as cockamamie. I mean, this whole thing with a Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg making these ridiculous, stupid comments about Donald Trump. Isn't she supposed to be keeping her mouth shut? She's not supposed to delve into the political. She has a job. Be the judge. That's it. Be the judge. I can't imagine what the country would be with Donald Trump as our president, she said. For the country, it could be 4 years. For the court, it could be, I don't even want to contemplate that. She said if her husband was alive, her husband would say, now it's time for us to move to New Zealand. This is a Supreme Court justice. She calls Donald Trump a faker, a faker. He has no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. Well, she's 83 years old, and I would agree with Donald Trump on this. I think something's wrong. I mean, what did Donald Trump say in response to this woman? Donald Trump said that, I'm trying to find, her mind is shot, resign. Well, sounds like it to me. She shouldn't be talking like this. Her mind is shot, resign. And by the way, for you folks who still may be on the hashtag Never Trump train, I got news for you. You want more Ginsburgs? Well, just make sure Hillary's elected. Just make sure Hillary's elected. This woman's crazy. And you've got a couple you could have, okay, she's going to be stepping down at some point in time. And you've got a couple other guys that are old as the hills and twice as dusty. You've got Kennedy, I believe he's 80. Breyer, I think he's 78. Serious times in which we live, my friends. And then you've got the story regarding Gitmo. I mean, Barack Obama promised to close it down, but the problem is he can't close it down because Congress won't allow him to close it down. So what's he doing? He's emptying it. And what's happening with these guys that he's letting free? They go work for the other team. Of course. Oh, I thought they'd be reformed good guys. I thought they all converted to, authentic Christianity behind those bars. Come on. Are you kidding me? Now we know that 30% have returned to the battlefield. And by the way, every time Barack Obama releases these characters, and he did it, of course, on Monday, transferred two longtime detainees to Serbia and another to Italy. This is in violation of the law. Isn't he supposed to give Congress a 30-day heads up? Nothing. And what does Congress do? They sit on their hands and do nothing. Why? People are spineless. They're spineless. Why are they so spineless? Why are the Republicans such weaklings? Why is this? I was watching these people stumble through their statements as they're questioning Loretta Lynch yesterday. Talking to Loretta Lynch about the Clinton email scandal, she wouldn't answer any of their questions. And I'm watching them. It was just a study. But what about the emails? Hillary, and aren't you the nation's top cop? What were you doing on the tarmac with Bill Clinton? And you know why they're stuttering, stammering? Because I believe, this is just me, maybe I've watched too many episodes of House of Cards. I believe they're stuttering and stammering and sweating because they know if they go too far, Hillary and the DNC may spill the beans about that little affair they had a few years ago. If they go too far, those pictures of them drunk in the bar might be released. If they go too far, oh, you did a little cheating on your taxes a few years ago. Stuttering and stammering. Oh, but they'll be able to go back to their constituents here in the next month or two and say, oh, I was up there fighting hard for you. Oh, we did. Hillary's crooked. Well, you know, these emails, Obamacare, nothing gets done. Because I believe they've got crap in their lives. The Democrats know it, and they're ready to spray it out there if they go a step too far. Oh, that could never happen in politics. Oh, really? Oh, really? I mean, Bernie Sanders, did you see him up there yesterday as he's endorsing Hillary? Yeah, he took a few veiled shots across the bow at Hillary in the process, but he was perspiring profusely as he's endorsing this woman who just a few months ago said was unfit for the presidency. What was that all about? I don't know. My mind goes wild and I start thinking about these things. Then I'm sort of wondering if a phone call was made to Bernie. Hey, Bernie, how are you? Joe Schmo, I work for Hillary. Yeah, Joe Schmo, how you doing? Yes. Hey, Bernie, remember that trip you took to the Poconos? Oh, I don't know. I think it was 11 years ago. Silence on the under the line from Bernie. Yeah, that time your wife was on a vacation of her own with some of her friends, and you went to the Poconos, and you met up with that little lady. Do you remember that, Bernie? And Bernie's silent on the other end. Bernie, Hillary needs your endorsement. We got you covered there, buddy? Huh? You going to give it? Okay, thanks, Bernie. Thought so. I think that stuff goes on. I really do. Because that guy was sweating profusely. The people questioning Loretta Lynch were stuttering and stammering. These fools, that's right, absolute fools, because they think we're the fools that vote for them time and time again. And guess what? Many of us are. I'm done with it. I'm really done with it. I'm sick of it, and so are you. All right. All right. Let's go back to the lines. Let's go back to the lines. Perry is listening, WMAL. Thanks for joining us, Perry. Understand you're disappointed with Barack Obama. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
To let you know, I worked over 22 years in the black community trying to uplift us and do right for the youth and everything else. But when I listen to that speech, I'm like, come on, man. What he said was right and exact, but why would you? That's not the forum. President Bush, that was perfect. Or spot on, presidential, scriptural, spiritual, loving, sorrowful,
yep,
beat everything in a short period of time, laid it out, knocked it out the park. That's what I expected our president to do.
Yes, Perry, it's a memorial service for five guys whose lives were lost protecting the demonstrators, protecting the protesters, protecting their city from harm. It's not the time to go political. It's not the time to make those type of opinionated statements, correct?
Correct. And it wasn't the time, but one thing I have to say, black people and white people are both victims here in this country. And what I mean by that is we have never been taught, and it lends to why we're in the situation we're in today. We've never been taught properly about the condition of both peoples and what happened here. I mean, it's very watered down. It's almost non-existent now. And I think if we were better educated, both black and white, about the utmost atrocities, atrocities. I'm not trying to use the air to stand on a soapbox, but
Perry, let me ask you this question, because, you know, you had mentioned you've tried to work within your community. I think if we take this from a biblical perspective, we're all sinners, you know, black, white, brown, purple, orange. We're all sinners here. If we could just recognize that there is a God who loves, who created all of us and loves all of us equally. And if we would start from that point, that's where we could come into a situation where we could really and truly all get along. I'm sure you agree with me.
I agree with you. We have to have more civil discourse. But if you got people say, I'm not saying like you, but you might have Caucasians say, what's the matter? Why are they so angry? Come on. Because I'm there. I'm on the front line. I'm telling you, we're getting it very rough in the court systems, in the prisons, in the streets. And because of the advent of the cameras, you can see more. Now, I know guys, and I have a lot of relatives that have worked for NYPD. They're all either dead or retired, but totaling about 125 years of service to NYPD. And the conversations that I've heard and the questions that I've asked and the answers that I've gotten, it would blow you away. But there's still a affection and respect for police officers.
Absolutely. And listen, with all of these protesters who have been radicalized, I believe, the next time they're in a situation where their life's being threatened or there's a dangerous situation present, who are they going to call? They're going to call 911 for the police to respond. I mean, Perry, but thanks for your call. I really appreciate it here on the Savage Nation. And then there's Daniel at WJR. Daniel, go right ahead. Ryan Sussman filling in for Michael on the Savage Nation. You're on the air.
Hi, sir. Just like to tell you, the Democratic Party and the African American, that Obama is creating an environment of lawlessness in the black community. I deal with police every day, all day, and they're getting to the point where they want to stand out. And in these African American communities, when they call for help, when their life's on the line, they might not get it one day, and I want them to know that they're bringing it on themselves. You know, the Bible says that deceivers are being deceived, and that's what you're seeing here. He condoned this man killing those five officers, and it was a disgrace. So just something to keep in our mind. You get it?
No, it's true. I appreciate your call. I have to ask this question. I know we have lots of law enforcement listening. They listen to the Savage Nation big time. But who wants to be a police officer these days? I mean, with all of this going on, especially if you have a wife and kids, when you leave for work, your wife's going to be on her knees praying to God that you come home at night. I think at the end of the day, what this is all about, again, this is just one man's opinion, but I believe that Obama wants a federalized police force. I mean, these federal mandates are already going down in something like 30 major cities around the country. I believe they want a federalized police force. They want to get rid of the local cop shop. They want to bring in the feds. And, of course, these guys, whether they have guns or not, I don't know, but they'll have a different type of authority. And I believe that he wants this federalized police force to be staffed by radicalized minorities and radicalized millennials, but especially minorities. That's what I believe. But what say you on this, the Savage Nation? Brian Sussman filling in. It's always a pleasure to be behind this microphone. Look forward to your calls on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Brian Sussman on the Savage Nation, filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, who will be back tomorrow. Don't forget Dr. Savage on Facebook. You can also follow him on Twitter, @ASavageNation, @ASavageNation. Many stories in the news, so many of them having to do with this despotic leadership we have in Washington, D.C. Of course, they want to continue it with Hillary. One of the things that I like about Trump, perfect candidate? No. Nope. I can't remember when we had a perfect candidate, quite frankly. Maybe I'm not as old as some of the rest of you, but the bottom line is this. I do know that, you know, Trump is hated by the left, hated by many on the quote-unquote right, hated by the elites and power brokers around the world. He's just never played their game. He's never played their game. I mean, I'm here in the Silicon Valley. I'm broadcasting KSFO, San Francisco, Silicon Valley. I've met a lot of these people who are, you know, Council on Foreign Relations members. They've gone to the Bilderberger meetings. Super wealthy elitists who look at the rest of us as just peons. Trump has never played that game. I was on YouTube yesterday looking at a particular video of Trump through the years. And a lot of these clips are from the 80s when he was a constant guest on Oprah's show. And even in the 80s, he's talking about, yeah, America's just getting ripped off by all these other countries. You know, these super wealthy guys in New York City, they don't like me. They've never liked me. I'm not a part of their club. I've never been a part of their club. These super wealthy, they see me as a competitor. I believe that's true. There was probably a time when, you know, the George Soroses of the world invited Trump into their little clan, but obviously he said no. I'll tell you something. I pray to God this guy's got the best security team on the planet, because there are just a lot of people that hate him. A lot of people who hate him. And, of course, now we're looking at the situation. This is in Dallas today. 3 funerals for the 5 officers who died in the line of duty. And, again, I've seen a couple little snippets from, for example, one of the daughters of one of the officers who said something very beautiful. I saw a 10-second clip of her. And, of course, it just tears your heart out of your chest because she lost her dad. But where's the procession? I know this because Jim, who's one of the producers of the program, is in Dallas right now, and he sent me a text of a photograph of this procession as far as the eye can see in Dallas. Why isn't the media showing us any of this? Inquiring minds want to know. Unfortunately, we've got a lot more time to flesh this out. So, with that in mind, glad you're here. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage, who's back tomorrow. You know, as long as I've been listening to Savage, and I have since the mid-90s, in the mid-90s, I was a TV guy in San Francisco. He was on this radio station that I really started to like, KSFO. And he had an evening show back then. And I would get off the 6 o'clock news, go home for dinner, and I'd listen to him for the 45 minutes I'd be in the car driving home. And his theme was, even back then, borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. He never changed. All of his books, borders, language, culture. And isn't it interesting now, 2016, that's what this election has come down to, borders, language, culture. It has. That's it. Borders, language, culture. If you don't have borders, you don't have a nation. If you don't have a common language, you don't have a nation. If you don't have a common culture, you don't have a nation. And it's everything the left hates. They want open borders. They want a multitude of languages. They can't stand it that English is the most spoken language on the planet. It's the common language. It's the common language of business. They can't stand that. They can't stand American exceptionalism. They can't stand Western culture. I mean, what is happening in this country? Well, it's very simple. You have a president who believes all that. He believes in open borders. He doesn't believe in American superiority in any way, shape, or form. He's embarrassed by Western culture. What do you think is happening with this refugee situation in America? We're taking these refugees and bringing them into this country. They have no, these refugees, by and large, have no inclination to become Americans as we know it. They don't want to be a part of the American culture. They want to retain their culture. They want to retain their system of law. They want to convert everybody to their way of thinking. And so he takes these refugees and he finds basically the most traditionally American communities you could possibly find. He starts inserting them into the mix. I mean, I'm thinking about the thing in Twin Falls. I don't know how many of you have been aware of that, but I had a friend who lived in the very same apartment complex where that little girl was heinously molested by those the refugee boys. My friend lived in that apartment complex, and several months ago he had moved back into the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was getting together with him. He said, "You wouldn't believe what's happening in Twin Falls with these refugees." And I'm like, "What, in Twin Falls?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "This apartment complex I lived in, we had them all over the place." And he said, "It was really weird. The men would stay inside the house. The women in their burkas and their scarves would be basically running the show. I don't know what any of them did for a living, but they had enough money to live, and they were living for free in this apartment complex where I was living. And the kids are just running crazy, terrorizing everybody, threatening everybody." And then a couple months later, I hear about the story out of Twin Falls. And nobody in the media will talk about it. Because, you see, it doesn't quite fit the template. We're supposed to, but no, these are all nice people. They want to be Americans. They've got these values. They've got the religion of peace. So you've got Barack Obama, who sees American exceptionalism as something to trash. Western culture is something to trash. Let's get rid of every last shred of Western culture in America. Now, I know some of you are saying, how could you possibly? What are you, some kind of conspiracy theorist? I can't believe. Oh, really? Have you noticed how many college campuses are left where they're actually teaching Western culture? Used to be a subject that everyone took at one point in time. Western culture. I think there may be just a handful of colleges in the country that still teach it. Even many of the quote-unquote Christian colleges in America have dropped that from the format. Because the left can't stand it. Western culture, get it out. That's American exceptionalism. We need to be people of the world. That's offensive to people who come from other countries, other cultures. We need to be multicultural. We can't celebrate Western culture. Well, okay, say that next time you go to a museum of art. Say that next time you listen to some of the great music, both classical and jazz. And if you want to take it in that direction, even rock and roll. Let's talk about the great inventions, the great leaps in terms of scientific and technological know-how that have saved lives. Let's talk about education. That's all Western culture-based. Oh, but that sounds too prideful, too proud. 855-400-SAVAGE, that's the number on this, the Savage Nation. So here's Hillary. Hillary, she's talking about Donald Trump. This is a clip we received from Fox News, and it's clip 12. Jim, play that for us, please.
Just like his current plan, which he calls inspiring, tremendous, and amazing. Here's what we know for sure. Whatever he comes out with next is going to give huge tax cuts to the corporations and the rich at the expense of the middle class. Now, there's that old saying. You've heard it. I used to hear it a lot in Arkansas. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
And you can put lipstick on a witch, but she's still a witch. Witch with a W. Oh, my gosh. Here's Hillary Clinton again. She's saying, no, in times like these, we need a president who can pull us all together, not split us apart. Hillary, clip 13.
Now, I realize that our politics have contributed to the sense of division that many Americans feel right now. And as someone in the middle of a hotly fought political campaign, I cannot stand here and claim that my words and actions haven't sometimes fueled the partisanship that often stands in the way of progress. So I recognize I have to do better, too. And in times like these, we need a president who can help pull us together, not split us apart.
Oh, was she talking about Barack Obama? Because there's a president who's been splitting us apart. Yeah, she'll pull us together, all right. Hillary Clinton, she will definitely pull a lot of us together, because when she goes after that Second Amendment, if Barack Obama doesn't do it first, she'll round up all the gun owners and throw them in those FEMA camps. Unbelievable. Take it with a grain of salt, if you'd like. Let's see. We were just talking about the refugee situation. This is Obama's effort to completely water down the American ethos. This is Barack Obama's effort to completely rid America of Western culture. Ken in New York City. Ken, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman, fill again.
All right, Brian. In life, you don't get to pick other people's heroes. And it's always been the case to destroy a civilization, a country, or a culture is just to keep flooding it and flooding it with foreign, I don't even call these things cultures. They're like more like habits or rituals that they go through. I wouldn't call it a culture when they really don't contribute anything. And the bottom line is they really want to destroy Western civilization, and that's the fastest way to do it. They just bring all these refugees in. The people should know that these refugees get the best welfare. They get the best welfare plans on the planet. When they come here, they get everything, you name it. And really, the people should know, the bottom line is you are losing your country. For years, I would say, you know, when it came to health care coverage and the medical coverage for our veterans and stuff, I said that those animals down at Guantanamo Bay are getting better coverage, medical coverage, than our veterans, and nobody would...
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you bring up the guys in Gitmo. My gosh, they were living large. We even built soccer stadiums for these guys. We made sure that the toilets in their cells didn't face Mecca. I mean, literally, we re-engineered the plumbing so these guys wouldn't have to take a dump facing the east. This is crazy.
That's right. And because of it, we are losing our country and our culture, and we're losing it every single day.
Yeah.
But people have to realize that inside America, we, every enemy of America is now inside America because of open borders. But also now we have two or three generations of people who've come from the open, the real open borders where no one was really scrutinized. This part of middle America that hates America. Look at this. That person, like I said, you can't pick other people's heroes. Those people were shooting the cops. There are people in this country who are part of a portion of middle America who agree with this, folks. This is insane. Those
it is.
Police officers, listen, those 12 police officers down in Dallas, they represented civil society. They paid an awful price for it the other day.
I mean, think about this. Ken, really appreciate your call. Think about this. Here's the first black Miss Alabama refusing to back down on that comment she made that the Dallas cop killer is a martyr. So and here she is now. She's, you know, taking to the camera. And she's just saying, I'm not backing down. No, this guy was a martyr. I don't feel sad for the officer. She literally says that in this clip. Cut eight, please.
I wasn't saying that he's someone I celebrate or that I hold in high esteem. A martyr is truly and simply defined as a person who dies for their belief. And that's really all that that's the context in which I used it.
Okay, but there's more. Take a listen to this clip. Go ahead and play the next one.
I'm dealing with a bit of guilt because I don't feel sad for the officers that lost their lives, and I know that that's really not my heart. I value human life, and I want to feel sad for them, but I can't help but feeling like the shooter was a martyr.
And there we have another radicalized minority in America. And this is the problem. And you are the caller to the Savage Nation. I am the fill-in host. Michael's back tomorrow. Brian Sussman here on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Savage. He's back tomorrow, of course. Oh, by the way, the National Radio Hall of Fame, Dr. Savage, that guy. 855-400-SAVAGE is the number, or if you prefer, 855-400-7282. Some of the other stories out there, and there are a ton of them, have to do with food stamps. It's interesting. Last week, I took a week off. Savage is off only one day. Savage works so hard. I mean, between the show and the books, he should be taking weeks off at a time, but he doesn't. He loves to work. And then there's yours truly. I took a week off last week. And I'm up. Some of you know the region, the Lake Tahoe area. So we've got a family place near Lake Tahoe. The little community called Truckee, which is west of Reno, but it's in California. And we really needed some landscape work to be done. And it was bigger than my time allowed, and so we're trying to hunt down a landscaper. My wife sees this guy in front of a neighboring home, and he's out there doing his thing, and she says, hey, can I get you to come over for an estimate? And the guy, very thick Spanish accent, Mexican dude, says, yeah, I'd love to come over. So he comes over to the house, and my wife's showing him around what needs to be done. And he says to her, who are you voting for? Now, okay, just picture this. You know, it's Mexican guy, thick accent. Who are you voting for? Is this a setup for an argument? What's going on here? And my wife unabashedly says, Donald Trump. He goes, so am I. Okay, this is interesting. Then he just goes on to talk about how much he loves this country and how he came to this country and how he's a citizen of this country. And what really irritates him is all of his fellow Mexicans who are coming to this country illegally, and they're able to start getting handouts as soon as they come here. Now, I don't know how easy it is in your state, but in California, it seems to be pretty easy. And he says it's to the point where he can't get other Mexicans to work with him on his landscaping business. Because they don't want to work. They're getting lots of free stuff. So he says that, and now I see this article coming out of Breitbart this morning. They're calling it a quirk in the way most states determine food stamp eligibility, but this is purposeful. This was designed by bureaucrats as a loophole, purposefully. And there's a bias in favor of granting benefits to families of U.S. citizens as opposed to families made up of illegal immigrants. In other words, the illegal immigrants have a better chance of getting benefits, in this particular case, SNAP benefits, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program benefits, a.k.a. food stamps, EBT cards. Quote, a bias exists against those here legally when calculating eligibility for food stamps. It's an overt bias. So in other words, just as this guy's explained to my wife, although he didn't have the stats like we're now able to see via Breitbart, it's easier for the illegal alien to get the benefits as opposed to the U.S. citizen. That's where we are. Okay, now, can we all agree our immigration system is so screwed up? And these bozos, okay, what are these guys doing? Both sides, we already know where the Democrats are on this. But the Republicans talk a good game, but they never do anything. The same people that have allowed this system to get broken are now running for office in their various congressional districts. Saying, vote for me, I'll set you free. Oh, we're going to change all this stuff. Oh, you've had your chance. You've done nothing. And each and every time it's comprehensive immigration reform. Well, come on now. To quote James Brown, break it down. We need to go after this piece by piece by piece. The problem is there are so many pieces, I don't know how we're going to pick them all up and put them back together again. So these are the things we're talking about. And I can't wait to talk to you in the next segment. It's always a pleasure, always an honor to be behind Dr. Savage's microphone. Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation. Hello, Brian Sussman. Filling in for Hall of Famer Dr. Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation. Michael's back tomorrow. So it's the statement that's turning heads left, right, and center. Another absolutely cockamamie, ridiculous, stupid statement by Barack Obama. And it's stupid for a number of reasons. One, now I know that as we speak, even though the media is really doing their best to stay off this topic, three of those police officers who were killed, like fish in a barrel in Dallas, are being buried today. And if you've ever seen the funeral procession for a fallen officer, They go on for miles and miles and miles. And cops from all over the country, generally speaking, this is how it works. Every cop shop in the country sends a representative. Oh, massive displays of authority. We need police. We need the police. Has a cop ever been there for you? Cop's been there for me. Some of you, in your darkest moments, that the police were there for you, right? I mean, in this audience, think about this. I have the good, I'm blessed, literally blessed, God blessed, to be behind this microphone speaking to all of you. And if I were just to let my mind's eye go for a moment, there are stories that some of you could tell. Some of you have just been through it like nobody's business. Use your imagination. That could entail anything and everything. And in that moment of need, a cop was there for you. Obama, and so we have these funerals for these police officers. The processions go on for miles. Now, to me, if I used to be in television news. In fact, my first job in TV news, I was a news director of a TV station. I'm sure that the Savage Nation is heard in central Missouri. I worked for Channel 17, which was an ABC affiliate back then, and I ran the newsroom. Just right out of the University of Missouri College, charged with this task of managing a bunch of young guys. But the bottom line is, I know how the sausage is made, okay? And then I moved on from there and worked for CBS for many years. But I know how the sausage is made. and there's an editorial decision that's made every day on what stories we're going to cover. Well, this is clearly a story nobody wants to cover. To me, if I were the news, if I were the news director, if I were the editor, executive producer, I'd be saying, no, no, no. Give me shots of that procession in Dallas. I want to see the pictures. We may need a chopper to cover it, but I want to see the miles-long procession of vehicles honoring these fallen officers. To me, that is video worth showing on television. Go get it. I don't see it anywhere. I'm sure it's being shown in Dallas. It's not being shown in the major networks. Why? Because it doesn't fit the current template. Oh, if we do that, we might agitate these BLM people. Can't do that. They're not covering the news properly here. But listen to this. I just want to give you one line. So Obama's speaking at this memorial yesterday. This is not the time to be political. It's a memorial. Oh, but he can't help himself. He's rubbing his hands, stirring the pot. First hour of the program, I mentioned something called Cloward and Pivens. Cloward, Pivens, Cloward, Pivens. Cloward and Pivens were two professors who came up with this scheme to bring down capitalism. And the whole idea was, let's go ahead and just create crisis. Let's create agitation. Let's create calamity. Let's create problems that are unfixable. And that will be the way to bring down capitalism and institute socialism so we can get control of all these crazy people. That was the goal of Cloward and Pivot. Google it for yourself. You can see what I'm talking about. But the bottom line is, it's working. It's working. Now, Cloward and Pivot. A believer was Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky discipled Barack Obama in many ways, shapes, and forms, correct? Come on, we all know this. Saul Alinsky, by the way, asked Hillary Clinton to work for him. You want Hillary? All you never Trump people want Hillary? Okay. But I'm just saying, this is what is being employed before our very eyes. So let's think about Cloward and Pivens for a moment. We've got a national debt. You can't even begin to wrap your brain around that number. 20 going on 21 trillion. Okay, ding. There's something that's calamitous. Let's talk about the immigration problem, which we've talked about already on the Savage Nation. Immigration in the United States of America, the system is broken. It's out of control. It's not just the people flooding our southern border. It's the people overstaying their visas. We can't keep track of all these people. The people then signing up for benefits. The people then coming into this country who are terrorists. So you got that. Now, and then you've got militant Islamists blowing people up in this country now. Okay, there's another bit of calamity. You've got racial relations, the worst in our lifetime. There's another crisis. It's all happening before our very eyes. And the left loves this because the more it gets out of control, the more they'll be able to expand their reach into our lives via the government, basically, eventually, have control of all of us. This is the plan. Get rid of capitalism. Vanquish Western culture. Move forward. So here's Obama with an outlandish statement like this at a memorial for police officers. We've played it already on the program. If you're just joining us, thanks for being here. You need to hear this. It is the stupidest comment I've ever heard, certainly from an elected official. And I live in California, okay? Here it is, clip one, go.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
Okay, that said, let's go to Nick. Nick's listening on WMAL. Nick, you're on the program. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say that earlier you said, what book is going to cost you hundreds of dollars? Well, a college textbook will. And these teenagers that are going out there and spending their money on these guns, they're making a choice to do that when they could be making the opposite choice and going out there and buying these books, educating themselves, and helping to fix the problems that we're seeing in our communities today.
You know, Nick, the problem is the educational system is indoctrinating these kids to the point where they, too, are becoming radicalized in so many situations.
That may be true, but it doesn't undermine the fact that it's their choice of doing this. It's not the guns. More gun control isn't
right.
solve this problem.
Right. You're exactly right. And again, there was a, okay, you see, well, listen, I appreciate your call. It's guns don't kill anybody. It's people that kill people. And if they can't get their hands on guns, they're going to get their hands on something else. What's going to happen the next time we have a bombing like those guys in Boston pulled off? We can outlaw fertilizer? Let's continue. Kevin is in Harlem. Kevin, thank you for joining us on this, The Savage Nation.
Look, Brian, it just does not make any sense. We can't, in Harlem, we can't get a lot of our black leaders to talk about black-on-black crime. It's a no-win situation. It's very few of us that sit up here and say, look, man, we got to stop this victimization or victimatology because that's just what's happening. We're always being the victim. I'm not saying there's no such thing as racism. I'm not saying there's no such thing as bad police officers.
Right.
There are. But, I mean, you got to have some common sense, and there's not a degree of common sense. It's just, to me, it's just unbelievable. Another thing that we're about, Brian, I'm just going to say this. You, I don't know. I'm 63 years of age. I do remember those riots in the 60s. And so I'm afraid. I'm hoping that I'm wrong, y'all, that something's going to happen similar to that.
You know, it's interesting. Kevin, I have to tell you, we were just having that conversation off the air during the commercial break. I was speaking with the producers of The Savage Show, having that same conversation. What's going to happen next week in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, you remember those riots that we all heard about in the 60s in Chicago. Kevin, I have to share with you something else. I tweeted this out on July 10th. I'm reading through my Twitter feed, and I asked the question, why aren't the Black Lives Matter protesters marching in Chicago regarding the 263 blacks killed this year in gang violence? I mean, to me, my heart breaks when I think about what's happening in our inner cities.
Yeah, that's the reality. And you consider the net if you say, well, don't you think we better examine that too? Not ignoring everything else, but why don't we get motivated and do something about that? No, you consider
right. No, I'm with you. Kevin, thanks for calling out of Harlem. Here's Rob in Ohio. Rob's a police officer. A lot of police officers listen to the Savage Nation called.
Thank you. I'm currently a full-time police officer in Ohio. I'm a former MP with the United States Army. And my partner and I, we watched the service that Obama was in, and it sickens me. Like, that's my brothers there. My brothers are now dead because of this man, because of the policies he's put through, because of the anti-police rhetoric he's been putting through. And I'm almost in tears because of it.
Yeah. These are your brothers in blue.
Absolutely.
And that would cause my heart to break as well. This is the President of the United States. At that moment in time, he could have been the uniter, but instead, he was the great divider, correct?
Correct. I leave my house every night kissing my wife and children goodbye, and I never know if I'm going to come back. These five men that had passed away won't get that. Their children won't get that, and he doesn't realize it. There's no us and them. There's no black and white. We are all Americans, and that's what he doesn't see.
Rob, I've got to ask you this question. In light of the convention next week being in Ohio, Cleveland specific, is there kind of like a all-man-on-deck situation occurring where people from departments all over the state are going to be called into Cleveland? Do you know anything about that thus far?
I don't, but I know there's been a warning put out that the anonymous group had put out a call to action day on the 15th of this month about a call to action where there's been a warning put out saying that we need to be on our toes and watch out for, you know, anything suspicious. So as far as RNC goes, I'm really not 100% if they're calling all the all man, but that this is what's been put out now.
Oh,
we're
all right. Rob, listen, I appreciate your call. I got to take a break here. Thank you for your service. And listen, you have hundreds of thousands, yay, millions of people praying for you right now. We've got to have our cops' backs, folks, because we have a president who certainly doesn't. Brian Sussman, filling in on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman filling in for Hall of Famer Dr. Michael Savage. He's back tomorrow on this, The Savage Nation. We were just talking about the convention next week. We've heard from police officers who are upset, would be to put it mildly, regarding Barack Obama's extremely divisive, extremely insane statements made at that memorial for the fallen officers yesterday. And if you're just joining us, we'll repeat what he had to say in the next hour. Hopefully, you'll be around. But the bottom line is, I mean, this guy's a divider. And we're worried about the convention. What the heck's going to happen to this convention? Mike is checking in from WEZS in New Hampshire. Mike, what do you know? Thanks for checking in on this, The Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. About the convention next week, why can't they prevent any weapons within two blocks of the convention?
Well, it's interesting. We have a lot of people who are calling in saying we need to limit places where protests can occur, etc. I don't know what the laws are regarding firearms in Ohio, so I couldn't really tell you. I've heard that some of the Black Lives Matter people plan on carrying openly, just as a show of further defiance to the police. I don't have an answer on this. I just pray that everything ends up being very, very, very safe. But for some reason, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, it might not work out that way. These are professional agitators. You have to remember, the people that come to these protests, and I appreciate your call, the people that come to these protests are, in many cases, professional protesters. Some are trained right here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I'm broadcasting from. A group called the Ruckus Society trains these people. Many of them are paid protesters. I was reading an article today at WorldNet Daily regarding one of the Black Lives Matter leaders living in housing that I believe the article said was provided by George Soros. So these are well-paid, well-funded, well-trained individuals. And then, of course, the minions that they have going along with them, which could number in the thousands. I don't know what it's going to be like in Cleveland. But these are radicalized minorities and radicalized millennials. They've been radicalized in their various communities by community leaders. I should say community activists, you know, the likes of which Barack Obama was one, and now he's the chief community activist running his operation out of the White House for all to see. Others are indoctrinated in our colleges today. So that's what's happening. So I don't know what it's going to look like next week. I just pray that everything goes smoothly, but you know, the bottom line is the police need to be respected. They really do. They need to be respected. And there's a common theme with all of these individuals who have found themselves in these altercations with police and they've perished in the process. In every single case, how did it begin? It began with someone resisting arrest. Every time. Every time. But oh, say that and you're a racist.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Actually, here he is, a friend of Michael Savage, Brian Sussman, filling in for the good doctor, who deserves a day off every once in a while. And I'm always so apologetic when it doesn't work into my schedule to get behind this microphone, because it's truly an honor. Michael, of course, now National Radio Hall of Fame, Michael Savage. Just go to michaelsavage.com. Sign up for the newsletter. I get it. It's a good newsletter. All the top stories at michaelsavage.com. Don't forget Twitter, A Savage Nation. A lot of people want to talk about Obama and the disgraceful remarks he made at that memorial service for the five fallen officers yesterday. It was disgraceful. A lot of people want to talk about Hillary, who, during a speech, she's talking about uniting everyone, uniting everyone. And while she's talking about uniting everyone, she's ripping into Trump and his supporters. So talk to me about how that's uniting. We'll talk about that. I'd love to hear from millennials. Stories in the news involving millennials. Martha Stewart, for example. Martha Stewart, tremendously successful businesswoman, who proved one thing. You need a tax attorney, folks. If you're ever questioned by the IRS, keep your mouth shut and lawyer up. Do not ever answer any questions. These people are out to get you. Stick it to ya. Notches in their belt. You lie, even one little slip-up, you're done. You think the IRS is bad? You should see the state of California, the Franchise Tax Board. Holy mackerel. Yeah, you think of California, oh, peace, love, rock and roll. Uh-uh. They're fascist, in my opinion. In my opinion. So we've got the lines open for you on the Savage Nation. In this, the final hour, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. But millennials, I'd love to hear from some millennials. 855-400-7282. Millennials with their head on straight. How do you do it? You look around, your people. Martha Stewart said this about millennials. Sorry that I digressed. They're lazy, they're self-indulgent, and they lack the initiative to be successful. Why is that? I find it so often to be true, although thank God I look at my crew and my four kids. They're not like that. They're all pretty successful and on some pretty cool tracks. And when it comes to politics, they got their heads on straight. But so many of their friends, cuckoo. So Martha Stewart, I would agree with you. Millennials are lazy, self-indulgent, lack the initiative to be successful. There are exceptions, of course, but by and large, I mean, I look at some of these videos that certain people put together. That Mark Dice guy does an unbelievable job. Goes out and interviews these folks. He was down in San Diego recently. So tell me, Hillary, you like Hillary? Oh, I love Hillary. So are you on board with her for a plan to institute Sharia law? Oh, sure. Yeah. What is Sharia law? He explains it. You know, women will wear burqas. And, oh, I think that's cool. If Hillary's for it, I'm good with that, man. Yeah, cool. But I'm looking at another study in the news. Teens' brains process likes on social media to winning money. So in other words, winning money or getting likes. Oh, I want the likes, man. It's cool. It's all about the likes. Everything's about the likes. I've made some observations recently. In fact, I even expressed this on my morning show in San Francisco on KSFO, Michael's flagship station, this morning. My colleague and I, my cohort and I, Katie Green, who is a millennial, and is one of the funniest people you'll ever hear on the radio, truly a comedian, and extremely sharp. She can't stand her generation. I mean, she makes that clear on the radio. And I was saying, now let me just make an observation here. The way I see it, with a lot of millennials, if we were to, let's just take it down the line. You know, that's why so many of them were for Bernie. They're going to get free college. If we could give them a free little stack and pack house to live in. It doesn't have to be very big. Maybe, I don't know, 400 square feet. Give them their 400 square feet, subsidized to the hilt, of course. Give them their pass for mass transit. Give them a free phone and free Netflix. Give them all the social media they can possibly absorb for free. And I don't know, throw in a couple tattoos. I think you'd have an entire generation that would be perfectly happy. Oh, don't forget, you know, education will pay for that and health care. You give them all that. Oh, that's fine. That's great. Cool. I can still do Facebook. Okay. Instagram. I'm good. Snapchat. Oh, good. Okay. Cool. I get a tattoo. How often do I get tattoos? Can I get a new one once a year? Oh, good. I'm so happy with that. Can you throw in like a voucher for Starbucks daily as well? Oh, good. I'm so happy. Good. Oh, good, good, good. I think this is where we're going in this country. I think you have millions of young people fitting that millennial demographic. If you could just do that for them. Okay.
Okay, kids, here's what you get. Stack and pack housing.
Yay!
Free health care.
Yay!
Including reproductive services.
Yay! I can do it all I want and I don't have to pay any consequence. Just like a bunny rabbit. Let me see, what else did I mention here? Free smartphone. Yay! What was the other thing I said? All the social media you can consume, plus Netflix. Yay! A new tattoo every year. Woohoo! Vote for me, I'll set you free. Come on, brother, rap and win. I think that's where we're going in this country. Okay, so here's Hans in Kentucky. Hans is a millennial. Hans, talk to me about your generation. What's going on here?
Man, I've seen a lot of different things going on, but I'll tell you what I see the most is a lot of people that are, like you were talking about, all about the likes. So many people are built up on their self-esteem. Social media has created a fake and false image that people are just living up to. And the word motivation is low. That's just the bottom line. You get people out here and they just, it's different. It's different than the people that I have grown up watching. And it's handouts, I guess. I guess.
So, you know what I mean? Hans, how come you get it and others of your friends, people you know who are 20 years old or so, don't get it? What's the difference? How did you happen to come out with your head on straight?
I think, you know, I was blessed by a bad situation growing up. I lost my dad really early, and so I kind of had to play like the father figure to, you know, like my little sister and to my mom. You know, my mom was single all the way up until, you know, as of late. And I kind of had to, you know, I kind of had to grow up a lot faster, and I kind of had to realize that I got to do things a little different because I can't be given the things that most kids are given because I got to earn it for myself instead of letting my mom or, you know, my dad that, you know, could have.
Okay, so now let's stop right there, and I got other questions for you. So now let's take it to this particular situation. Here you are. You grow up. You lost your father when you were a little kid. You're a fatherless young man in the sense that dad's gone. I'm assuming he died, correct?
Correct. Brain cancer.
Okay, so your dad dies. Now a single mom is raising you. So how come you don't come out into the world as a 20-year-old just talking about privilege? Look at all these rich, privileged kids. And just with a chip on your shoulder as if there's something wrong with those people and you had a bad deck dealt to you and therefore you've got a chip on your shoulder. How come you don't have any of that?
You know, man, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a Christian man, and one of the most common things I ever hear is people say, well, you know, why do bad things happen to bad people? You know, honestly, life is life, and no matter what color, age, or anything, you're going to have circumstances, and you're going to be dealt your cards. And mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. And so you got to adapt or die. That's basic natural habitat, man. You got
to. So Hans, now let's take it to the inner city and all these minorities who are suddenly empowered and radicalized, and they're out there marching in the streets, and you're getting the former Miss Alabama black woman who's saying the guy that shot those cops is a martyr, and she just doesn't feel any remorse in any way, shape, or form, even sad for the cops who died. How do people in the hood, who in too many cases don't have fathers, how come it's so different for them compared to your experience? I mean, you come out, you're going to pull up your own pants, you're going to make your way, you're not going to feel sorry for yourself. What's the difference here, just in your estimation? You mentioned your faith. Do you think it could be an authentic faith situation that we're dealing with that seems to be lacking in the inner city these days?
I've actually had this conversation with people that were raised in, that were actually raised in the ghetto and shaped by the ghetto and the gang activity and so on. And, you know, I think it comes from a few different things. I do think that my faith did play a part. I mean, it for sure did play a part. But I happened to be molded, and I was surrounded by people that had a similar faith. And mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of the same thing, you know, if all your friends are Smurfs, you're going to be blue. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think a lot of that comes in effect, you know. if you see a lot of, you know, lifelessness, you're gonna take it on, and
right.
It's kind of like the tunnel vision is really, really.
Or Hans, how about this? It sounds like your mother was a hardworking woman. What about in those situations where you've got the mom with a bunch of kids, and she's lined up for every welfare program under the sun, and to her, this is life, and it's going to be generational welfare. So you grow up in that environment. Now it's a different type of Smurf altogether, so this is what you get. I mean, this is what you get. That's the difference. It's just a completely different mindset between you and them. And Hans, just so proud to know that when I... Here's the deal, Hans. You have one job, all right? You got one job. When I'm an old man pushing around a walker with drool coming out of my mouth, I want to make sure guys like you, Hans, are in charge.
Well, I hope, I hope that's in the books.
Just be a contributor, my friend. Do your part. Raise a great family. Hans, all the best to you out of Kentucky. And there you go. Brian Sussman, proud to be filling in, as always, on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Back at you, Brian Sussman, in for Michael Savage, Hall of Fame award-winning broadcaster. Dr. Michael Savage, broadcasting, of course, from his flagship station, KSFO, out here on the left coast. We're talking about millennials and why so many of them are rather pathetic. But not all, thank God. No, there are great exceptions out there. Got a few on the line who want to check in. This has to do with a story in the news involving teens, millennial teens, brains process likes on social media like winning money. Hey, who needs money? I got likes. To which I believe there's an entire generation, and the Democrats know this, they're banking on this, that if you just give them free stuff, you'll have them hook, line, and sinker. Give them a little hovel to live in, they'll be fine. Give them some measure of free health care, they'll be fine. Give them transportation passes, they're going to be good. Give them an EBT card, great. As long as it includes a Starbucks benefit, they'll be really, really, really happy. Give them their Obama phone, complete with social media. Give them Netflix, they're going to be happy as clams. You got them forever. Oh, yeah, throw in a little education. You got them. You'll have them forever. Maybe someday we'll have to chuck in a tattoo. You get one tattoo every year. They'll be happy as clams. Here's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is talking about this very thing on CBS this morning, talking about the Democrat platform, the most progressive ever, meaning more and more giveaways to lure these minds full of mush into the tent and keep them there. Cut 11, go.
Well, what we have been doing during that period is making sure that the Democratic platform becomes the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party. And what we were able to do in that process is get the Democrats on board to our $15 an hour minimum wage, rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure and creating millions of decent paying jobs, demanding that the wealthiest people in this country start paying their fair share of taxes. And these are ideas, more or less, that Secretary Clinton is supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Just keep them. Keep them fat and happy, I tell you. Andrew is calling from California. Andrew, I'm told you're 20. What kind of millennial are you? Thanks for checking in.
Hey, Brian. I'm a millennial who prefers to work for what I get. That's the most important thing to me.
I like that. You want to work. Now, when you look around at some of your peeps who don't share the same attitude, does it cause for some interesting discussions?
I've been fortunate enough to mostly associate with people who are like-minded, and unfortunately, I got thrown into a room situation where I'm with somebody this year who is not quite like that, and I prefer to just avoid discussion with them overall.
See, it's like the other millennial called in earlier. When you hang around with Smurfs, you're going to be blue. You're choosing not to hang around with Smurfs.
Absolutely, yeah. It's when I hear, you know, this guy that I'm living with, unfortunately, is, you know, on welfare, on food stamps, can't hold down a job because he's playing on his phone too much. It disgusts me.
There you go. He's looking for the likes as opposed to money. So that flies well with the study that I was referring to earlier. Andrew, all the best to you. Thanks for checking in. 27 past the top of the hour right now. Hillary Clinton. She says you can put lipstick on a pig, but still a pig. So she's calling Donald Trump a pig. So we have to have a response for that, and we will. I'm thinking you can put a pantsuit on a witch, but she's still a witch, because that cackle of hers, I'll get you, my little pretty, and your dog Toto, too. That she reminds me of. Got that for you. And again, if you're just joining us, we've got to get back to this. The most insane, ridiculous, outlandish, stupidest, whatever you want to call it, statement ever made by a president. Came out of Barack Obama's mouth yesterday at the memorial for the 5 fallen officers. You will hear that as well. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, the Hall of Famer. He's back in the saddle tomorrow. Of course, the phone number right now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. MichaelSavage.com. This is going to be interesting. Next week, we have the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. We pray all hell doesn't break loose, but it appears as if the forces of evil are lining up. And I'm reading here, this is wild. So Pam Geller, maybe some of you know her. She's very, very outspoken about the Islamization that's going on in America. She has a blog, Atlas Shrugs. Milo Yiannopoulos, he's a super smart conservative guy who's gay. Geert Wilders, of course, you probably know of him. He's the guy that's been targeted by the Islamists because of his position working for the Dutch Reform. Dutch Party for Reform. They're going to have a huge rally in Cleveland. This will be Tuesday night at Cleveland State University. It's called Wake Up, the most fab party at the RNC. Speakers include Milo, Pam. Is it Milo or Milo? Milo or Milo? Milo, Milo. Milo, Milo Yiannopoulos. Pam Geller. Other VIP guests, Ann Coulter, who... My wife knows about this, by the way. She knows about this. I have a radio love affair with Ann Coulter. Amy Kramer, Genevieve Wood, Geert Wilders, Robert Stone. Special thanks, Breitbart News, Gateway Pundit, others. So this is what they're doing here is it's an LGB Trump RNC convention party. Pro-Trump gay conservatives are hosting this wake-up party. And their point is well taken. Isn't it interesting? Hillary calls herself, I'm sure she would call herself the most pro-LGBT candidate ever. Barack Obama would say the same of himself, but now it's Hillary's turn, of course. And yet she and the Clinton Foundation have taken so much money from these Muslim regimes in the Middle East that kill homosexuals. Am I missing something here? How can she say she's pro-LGBT when she takes money from regimes that kill such people? So I'm reading here what Milo has to say. Some LGBTQQIA folks are quivering with outrage and fear over the possibility of a Trump presidency. Idiots. Personally, I think we need to add an S to that ever-expanding abbreviation, S for stupid. Donald Trump is the most pro-gay candidate in American electoral history. He's also, unlike Hillary Clinton, not funded by countries that execute homos. That's from Milo. So how does the left square with that one? Good question. How can anybody on the left possibly have clapped for this? You know, that memorial, we're told, we've learned here on the Savage Nation today, the memorial for the 5 cops, the 3 funerals are going down today. sadly, I'm watching TV. I've been watching TV since 3 this morning. I have a morning show in San Francisco that runs from 5 to 9 West Coast time on KSFO. I've seen, other than a 10-second snippet of a young woman mourning her father, who died in Dallas, I've seen nothing on any of the networks. And we know because one of the producers of the program, Jim, sent me a photograph from Dallas, where the producers are located, of a funeral procession for one of the cops. This thing went on for miles. You'd think this would be news. I'm not seeing it. Is this untouchable? Don't go there. Don't want to agitate those BLM people. Who would clap for this? We're finding out now that at that memorial for those five officers, the Interfaith Memorial, because, you know, they were of many faiths.
Right.
Barack Obama says something about guns, and, I mean, the applause begins as soon as he takes a breath to make the statement, and it only grows as he's making the statement, these drones. But I'm finding out that a lot of these people were just, they're handpicked. It was invitation only. These are a lot of politicians, leftist politicians in the front row, giving him the applause no matter what he says. You've got to hear this. If you're driving, please, two hands on the wheel. Otherwise, you'll crash your vehicle. This is the most insane statement ever. And to think it was made at a memorial for cops. This would be clip one, please.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
I'd like to know where those gun stores are. Yeah, I could go buy a book or I could buy a Glock. I think I'll buy a Glock. Yeah, I'm sure that's how it works. You want to know about the guns that were dumped into society used for heinous crimes, including a ton of murders. Let's talk about Fast and Furious, Mr. President. Oh, those Republicans really took him to task for that, didn't they? Just like they took him to task for Obamacare. Just like they took Loretta Lynch to task for the DOJ not prosecuting Hillary. Just like they took Hillary to task when she testified over the email scandal. Yeah, those Republicans, they're some tough guys, aren't they? Watching those Republicans questioning Lynch yesterday. Well, let me, Mrs. Lynch, stumbling and bumbling. Looking like absolute fools. This would be a time for a moment of confidence and just take a shot across the bow and take these people out, politically speaking, but they can't do it. Why can't they do it? I personally believe that Hillary and the DNC's got crap on all of them. That's why they're such weaklings. But it's just me. And then we're talking about the millennials. Study out today, millennials. They get more excitement over a like in social media than money, like from a lottery. Why is that? So I'm looking around at the millennial population. While I do see some bright light bulbs, I see other people that are very, very troubling. And now look at all the millennials that want to check in on the Savage Nation. So let's go to Jennifer first. Jennifer, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Sussman. I am so excited to call in. I am 23, and I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is, as you know, just crazy. One thing I've noticed with millennials is from our public schools. Our teachers cram down our throats how horrible capitalism is, socialism is the answer, Christianity is not just not real, it's also very bad for us, it's the source of all wars, things like that, and yet these kids who often don't like their teachers listen profusely to these things and eat it up, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, obviously, the schools are a big part of the equation. Something must also be happening in the home whereby the requirements are so minimal, you know? Your parents are providing you with a room, a roof over your head, food, love, and all the other things necessary to have a great life, but something is missing in the equation because I'm guessing those requirements might not require a lot of discipline. Privacy is everything to a young person these days, right? I mean, your parents can't touch your smartphone. They can't touch your tablet. They can't go into your computer. All these people have their own little private worlds. Parents are keeping out. Well, no, I need to give my child his space or her space because, you know, that's their world. Do you catch a lot of that as well, Jennifer? Because I don't think that's healthy.
It's definitely not helping. I think we as millennials are looking for someone to look up to and be a good role model and also pour into us, not as a friend, but as a parent, you know, someone to give us boundaries and rules to live by and things like that. And mm-hmm. we're just not getting it. Like you said, you know, there's computers in kids' rooms and you don't know what they're doing, you know, and even
right.
young kids have tablets and stuff and they can't even talk to anyone because they don't have a tablet in their hand. Another thing I think is that we don't know American history. I was fortunate. I grew up with a brother at a very young age. He loved American history. And so that's why we're conservative, is because it makes sense. When you know American history, you know that, you know, we have these rights and capitalism is good. And, you know, we're the greatest country on earth.
Exactly. You know, that's, and that really is the true definition of a conservative in my mind. It's someone who is able to aptly look at history, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and say, okay, this worked, this didn't work, so let's try what's worked in the past, and that'll be our template for success, and let's don't even go in this direction ever, 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 ever. Whereas the left, you know, they're an ideology. They don't look at history. They're an ideology, and it's like, you know, damn it, Marx was right. Sure, it hasn't been accomplished properly so far, but we can finally do this socialism thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think people really think things through anymore. You know, with social media, we do just get like a tagline of what, you know, someone says, and we're like, oh, that sounds good, you know, free college.
Well,
but then you don't.
Well, would you agree with me on this, Jennifer? In the schools, it would seem to me we're not necessarily teaching kids how to think. We're teaching them what to think.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they become really good at it. I mean, they can spew out the rhetoric like nobody's business because they've been indoctrinated all those many years hearing the same stuff over and over. Jennifer, I'm glad for you. Thanks for checking in on this, the Savage Nation. So that's where we are. You know, another thing that's in the news has to do with this Netanyahu story. This story is just not getting the coverage it deserves. It's incredible to me. But we find out yesterday that the State Department, actually this was a story, yes, in the Washington Times, maybe the only publication talking about it. I didn't see it anywhere else. State Department paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this is Hillary's State Department, right? Or was she gone by this time? The State Department paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer grants to an Israeli group that used the money to build a campaign to oust Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, so Hillary was gone because this was last year. So did you get this? Obama's State Department, John Kerry's State Department, paid $350,000 in taxpayer money to a group that built a campaign to oust Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Your taxpayer dollars went to undermine a man's campaign in truly our great ally in the Mideast, Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, why do you think this would be? Well, Obama dislikes Netanyahu because Obama likes the Shah of Iran. The Shah, excuse me. They had Islamist of Iran. And how do we know this? Because Netanyahu was the guy who was against this cockamamie plan to put together this deal with Iran over their nukes. Netanyahu was against it. So Barack Obama, let's get rid of Netanyahu. Get rid of Netanyahu. It'll be our best chance. Well, they didn't get rid of Netanyahu. But I'm just telling you something. Every liberal Jew who would otherwise vote Democrat better hear what's going on with this Democrat Party, because this is a cause for you to get your head on straight and think twice about who you're voting for this next time around. Brian Sussman, filling in to the big chair for the doctor, the Radio Hall of Fame Dr. Michael Savage, who will be back tomorrow on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage, who's back tomorrow on the Savage Nation. And now, a quick whip around of all the sound we played throughout the course of the broadcast. Outrageous as it may be, two hands on the wheel. Here's Barack Obama at a memorial service in Dallas for five fallen police officers, died in the line of duty protecting protesters, demonstrators, and just regular folks. Listen to this, please. Clip one.
We flood communities with so many guns that it is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
What an absolute fool. I mean, that is just outlandish, beyond belief. And it continues. Here's Barack Obama. Now, we can't dismiss these protesters as troublemakers or paranoid. No, no, not at all. God forbid we call them evil. Clip five, please.
And so when African Americans from all walks of life, from different communities across the country, voice a growing despair over what they perceive to be unequal treatment, when study after study shows that whites and people of color experience the criminal justice system differently.
Okay, stop right
there.
You know, this man relishes in dividing us. He's stabbing America in the chest at a memorial service. At a memorial service. We continue. Here's the first Miss Black Alabama. She's on Facebook. She doesn't feel any compassion for the officers who died in Dallas. In fact, she calls the shooter a martyr. This is another radicalized minority. Clip eight, please.
I'm dealing with a bit of guilt because I don't feel sad for the officers that lost their lives, and I know that that's really not my heart. I value human life, and I want to feel sad for them, but I can't help but feeling like the shooter was a martyr.
Man, this woman needs some big time transformation of her mind. Here is Bernie Sanders talking about, let's forget Bernie. Let's go to Hillary. Hillary, talking about Trump. Actually, when you think about what she's saying here, it sounds as if she's talking about Obama. This would be clip 14, please.
Donald Trump is so dangerous. His campaign is as divisive as any we have seen in our lifetimes. It is built on stoking mistrust and pitting American against American. It's there in everything he says and everything he promises to do as president.
Replace the word Trump with Obama and she's got it dialed. She nailed it. Thank you, Hillary. And thank you, listeners. Brian Sussman here. Always a pleasure. Always an honor. Always a thrill to fill in for Dr. Michael Savage, Hall of Fame broadcaster. On this, The Savage Nation, don't forget michaelsavage.com for all of your news needs. Until next time, this is The Savage Nation.